ask, where was the last scripture that you read in Revelations?
11:15.
Thank you.
This is just a basic, elementary message on the kingdom of God. Kingdom 101. But you know what? You can preach for hours and hours and hours and hours from the Word of God. It's all the kingdom of God if you bring it from that standpoint. But you know what? I don't believe that many churches are preaching the kingdom of God. They're preaching the Bible. Many are preaching salvation. Many are preaching repentance. Some are preaching baptism. But I don't believe you're really in the kingdom, and Seth didn't believe that either, until you come into the holy place. Christ in me, or me in Christ, and or me in Christ. Christ in me, I go about doing my thing, and he's in me, and he might go places I might go places he wouldn't want to go. But when I'm in him, I don't go anywhere except where he goes. See, that's the difference. So, brethren, let us not be quiet today.
May I say a few things, please,
surely.
Brother Mark?
Please do.
Let me begin with the shaking. Scripture says that there's going to be a shaking. And to me, I believe that's a word that the Lord is saying to us at this time, to run into Christ in this hour. That is the place of safety from the shaking. That men that do not run into Christ at this moment, to say it in a mild way, are going to have a very hard time. It is in Christ that there is hope. That's why scripture said that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and not be carried away with the things that the Gentiles seek after. There is a problem that the church does have at this moment. That problem is that the church is looking at the world and walking the way the world is walking. The objective of what is called the church in following after the Lord is to pass through the church. In other words, pass through Christ to get earthly things. So a man comes and gives his life to Christ because he wants to get those things that the occultists are getting through occultism. So he thinks that this is his own spiritual channel, but that's not what God is telling us. He told Abraham that I am thy exceeding great reward. In other words, our reward is God himself. Our reward is not things. If we make things our reward, we are going to suffer a great loss at the end, because all these things shall be shaken. Bible says that they will pass away with a great noise. They will all pass away, all the things that men put their hope in, the ground upon which men stand, the strength of all that men do will be devastated and destroyed. It is only those that run into Christ that will survive. So that's about the shaking. The Lord is telling us, calling on his own to come to him and put their trust in him alone. So that when all these things go, we will not be shaken because we are in Christ. Then I want to look at the matter of the kingdom of this world. That's the scripture that says that the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. You see, what I understand is that this world actually belongs to our God. He made it for his glory. Then something happened at Eden when the adversary was able to deceive Adam and Eve. And then something also happened in Babel. And from there, the rebellion came into place. A man went in a way that it now seems as if this world isn't our God's kingdom. So it is then said that the prince of this world cometh. That is temporary. Temporary. But when he says that the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our God, is actually saying, talking about restoration. The kingdom has come to where it actually belongs. Matthew chapter 13 says that a time will come when all things that offend shall be taken and burnt up, and then shall the sons of God, permit me to use the word bask, shine forth. They will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. But earlier than that verse, it has already said that the field is this world and that it belongs to our Father, who is the husbandman. So we are looking at a time when those that are offensive to God, the rebellious, will be taken out of the way so that we, children of God, will be able to come to the fullness of what God intends for us to be. So the kingdoms of this world are temporary things. They are arrangements of man. The US kingdom, the Russian kingdom, the Nigerian kingdom, all these things are man's arrangement and does not take away from the fact that the entire world belongs to our God. So the reign of Christ is what we are looking for, to cast down the adversary and restore the reign of Christ. Then the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. I believe that there is a difference between the gospel of the kingdom and what many people preach today. The gospel of the kingdom is this word that we hear today. The gospel of the kingdom is the gospel that says, turn away from man whose breath is in his nostrils. The gospel of the kingdom is that brings forth the reign of Christ. You know, kingdom is the domain of the king. And who is the king? Our Lord Yehoshua, whom we have accepted to submit to. He is the Lord. We're talking about his kingdom. Many are preaching the message of prosperity, the message of carnal, getting carnal things, the message of carnal power, as it were, the message of the things that exalt their leadership, their leaders, and all manner of things. But the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel that projects the rulership, the ultimate and supreme rulership of Christ, the gospel that says that in all things he might have the preeminence. It's the gospel that says it is only Christ and nothing else. The gospel that encourages men to be willing to lay down their lives for Christ, who gave himself for us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So it is different from much of what is preached in many places today as the gospel. Amen.
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 The gospel of the kingdom is not pleasant to the flesh.
Amen.
That's one of the ways to know. Yes, that's one of the ways to know. When the message is very pleasant to the flesh, and it gives the flesh liberty to function the way it likes, it's likely not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom does not subscribe to popular opinion. So if the message is such that everybody hails it and says it's good, and you even look at it, you see that even the unbelieving feel comfortable with it, then it's not likely to be the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
You remind me.
Amen.
Amen. A word that Brother Wilkerson one time said, I'm unmuted, that he believed that if his preaching did not bring people to be uncomfortable and prick their conscience, that he was not doing the job that God had sent him to do. In other words, make the flesh uncomfortable.
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, Mark, when you were talking and reading about everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken, I was thinking about the people in Los Angeles. Everything that they had was shaken and destroyed. You know, a lot of those people had, you know, multi-million dollar property, their whole lives tied up in that, and they lost it all, you know, and some of them are never going to recover. In other words, you know, some of those people have lost, in a sense, you could say they lost their life. And, you know, God could have stopped that. You know, God could have stopped the wind. He could have brought rain. He could have had stopped the whole thing from happening to shake the people's whole lives, but he didn't do it. And I wonder how many people are going to come to salvation because they came to the end of their life in this world and they have nothing left except to turn to God. And perhaps, you know, this is, you know, what God had in mind, bringing people to the end of their life. Again, it just reminds me of what is our life? You know, what is our life on this earth? 70, 80, you know, like we're saying, Mark, over 100 years, you know, unless the God comes first. But it doesn't matter whether it's 100 years or longer. It's irrelevant compared to eternity. And, you know, this is where our focus and everything that we want, our goal is where we're going to spend eternity. And what we're doing in, you know, this time on earth, unless we're serving the Lord and bringing people to salvation, you know, that's our mission, is to share the gospel. And unless we're here doing that, then what is your life? You know, it's basically worthless unless you're serving the Lord and realizing that eternity is such a long time compared to this short time that we have here on earth. Amen.
Okay. You know, Larry, getting to heaven, getting to paradise is not the same thing as getting the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the thing that changes your whole soul, your whole being, into the likeness of Christ. You know, that I keep thinking that thief on the cross, he did repent. He got into paradise. But his nature didn't have a chance to get changed into the full likeness of Christ, did it? And so he's gonna spend a lot of time. See, he can't be in the fire of trial. He can't be in the shaking. That isn't going to happen in heaven. Cessius said the only way he can learn now is by watching me go through my fire and you go through your shaking and see how you deal with it, how you react to it, how you, you know, the devil offered Jesus all of his kingdoms and Jesus turned it down. No, I'm going to have them after all, eventually, but no thank you. And so the devil's kingdom is what's fighting against the kingdom of God. He does not want that. He can't prevent your salvation anymore, but he can prevent you from coming into sonship. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Anybody else? How did you come to the kingdom? What is it that, what caught you and brought you into something higher than what the city of religion had to offer?
I can remember when we first met the Duciles back in the early 70s, really just right when they had come here, there was something that, you know, I was raised in the Baptist church. And so, you know, I had that measure of understanding, but wow, when we were in those meetings with the Duciles and I had heard Kenneth Hagin and Jimmy Swaggart and all of them as well. But the anointing was so powerful with Brother Duciles. And it just ignited something within me that I just couldn't get enough. Because it was like you said, Brother Mark, it was, we got the understanding, this is right, this is the truth. And it's so powerful, so powerful.
And when you get that word, you're not satisfied with any other doctrine than that which you can prove is absolutely the truth.
That's right.
You're not going to settle for, you know, pre-trib rapture. You're not going to settle for eternal security and Calvinistic teaching that is not absolutely 100% true. You get this seed of the kingdom, this treasure that you're going to give everything for, and you reject anything else that's not that. I see you nodding your head. Just go ahead and speak.
Yeah, Brother Mark.
Yes.
Some years ago in the early 80s, I heard of Brother Elton. I think it was it was from Ireland. Am I right? By Elton, that's what we used to call him. In those years, I learned from the church history in Nigeria that he brought a church called Apostolic Church into the area I grew up in Nigeria here, and that it was the first church to know the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Elton. So my curiosity was now raised. And in those days, we used to travel in Nigeria here going for students and conferences. They call it NIFES, Nigerian Fellowship of Evangelical Students. So in one of the meetings, I came by Pa Elton. That was shortly before he died in 87. So we went for the conference in 86 in one of the universities here in the West, in Nigeria, when I saw him with my eyes. And as we came back from that conference, we heard that a brother Dusil was coming. And it was very exciting. But Elton mentioned him also, but Elton mentioned to see him somehow. And my mind was agitated. I needed to know these people. Now, I grew up in a denomination called Apostolic Church. But now, my entire spirit man was getting touched by what was real. So I made sure we traveled to Calabar, where Brother Dusil came to Nigeria first. I think that was 1985, if I'm right. You came with him in 89 or 86. I mean, 88, the mark, yes. So that's how God took
me. It was 89.
Me, 89, okay? So before you came with God, still again, this gospel of the kingdom, I've been preached in Nigeria here by Brother Elton. And there were other witnesses, but they were not as vocal. They were not so popular. And those things that they preached, those truths, to get us of our traditional ways of worship out of natural in Nigeria, they finalized the crucifixion of those things in our lives, in my life. We no more have things in the natural world that we can hold on to.
The church was no longer led by man to understand the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul of a man. So those kind of words, those kind of situations separated us, separated me from the larger congregation. So we now sought fewer brethren that understood what this kingdom's message was all about. That's how we grew. From there, met the brother Chijoke, them and the rest of them, and that's how it has been with us. So it is nothing. We are grateful to God. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, in Iceland we have the same experience, Daniel and I, because in 1990, Cecil Dusil came with some more brethren, and even Larry came a couple of times, three times, I think, at least. And I remember this first time we was listening to Cecil Dusil, that we had been hearing the preaching about the rapture, and we always thought it was very strange. And so I think we never could understand this rapture teaching. And then Cecil Dusil came and explained. I remember he was tying up and explaining and talking about how things were going to be, and it was just like at least someone talked something that makes sense. So I think both Daniel and I, we took this at once, that now we were hearing something that sounded like truth and something that we could understand. So it was such a blessing for us to get this brethren from the States and to listen to all this this teaching about the kingdom, because that was the life. At least we found the truth and the life in the Bible, and the explanation that we really could see. And in the coming years, we also, Daniel was very good, and he was having all these tapes that he was listening to all the time. He was having a lot of tapes from Tommy Cook and others. And it was never possible to turn away from this believing in this kingdom, or in this this teaching, because we saw the truth in it. It was never possible to don't believe it or to see something else when you first have seen it, because it's the truth, and that at least the Bible was able to understand from the first page to the last one, because it's all about the kingdom. The whole Bible is about the kingdom. It is the same story again and again. So I totally agree with you.
Amen.
Thank you.
The thing was that I saw a fearless investigation of the scriptures. A fearless investigation of the scriptures. Before now, I had listened to the word of God being presented in a manner that so much was left, so many questions were left unanswered, and you were expected to accept them, swallow them, because you shouldn't question the word of God. But we, and I came to see a man that fearlessly investigated the word of God. I encouraged you to question what he was saying. You know, and as we looked at the scriptures, especially this word that says the spirit is a real thing. That was one thing that Brother Dusil said that helped me. The spirit is a real thing. So we were encouraged to go beyond physical applications. I found that physical applications brought a lot of confusion because this is this way. How about this way? It didn't align. But as we began to look at the Word of God from the spiritual point of view, the Word of God now align. What is here agrees with what is here. What is here agrees with what is here. And we found out that scripture is plain scripture. So that was what caught my heart. And as the days went by, we could see that everything was in place and that this is actually the truth. I shared with some of my brethren, Samuel Bro Ide, something that happened in the denomination where I was. That the pastor was saying something, he was saying something that my heart immediately felt that this is not right. He was talking about kill your enemies. And then what fell to my heart was that Jesus rebuked the Boanerges when they said, "Should we call fire down from heaven?" As soon as that thought came into my heart, the man, very perceptive, he said, "You may be thinking about something like this, shut up." And I thought that shut up wasn't the answer to the question. The shut up wasn't the answer. But I found myself now in a place where we're encouraged to investigate the Word of God, ask questions. So you ask questions and you received a gentle, humble, meek answer, which was true. Amen.
Amen. Well, amen. It's good to gather with you all, and let us believe the Lord. He is a hearing and he is an answering God. Let me shut the recording off.